I'll tell you what, guys. Something special is going to happen this morning.
Amen.
Know how I know that? Because I've been attacked all weekend long by the devil. Let me tell you what. Friday afternoon, I was having lunch with a friend, and we were at this Thai place, and you know, some spicy Thai food. And my first bite of my lunch, something, acid reflux or something happened, and my esophagus just completely closed up, just constricted. I couldn't swallow, I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink, I couldn't get anything down, and it was just getting stuck right here, and it was a horrible feeling. It's happened to me before, but usually when it happens, it releases, you know, within 5 or 10 minutes, just kind of sit there and let the muscles relax, and then it releases and everything's fine, and this time it didn't. It didn't release, and my esophagus was just closed up, and I could breathe fine, but I couldn't swallow. I couldn't swallow anything, and I was after about 4 hours, when I get home from work, and this is still happening, I'm getting a little bit concerned here, you know, because I gotta eat, I gotta drink, and a man's gotta eat, you know.
Gotta have his cup.
Yeah, this is a guy like me, you know, I can't go along without food. And so I'm getting concerned, and so I went to urgent care, and they checked me out, and they had me drinking little sips of water, and it still wasn't going down. They thought there was some kind of a blockage or something there, and they took some x-rays, and they couldn't see anything, and finally they gave me a big cup of water, and they said, chug this. And I so, okay, doc, you're the boss. So I chugged this water, and I could feel my esophagus like expanding, you know, because there was all this water in there, and it wasn't going down. Finally, the pressure just forced whatever was going on down there to release, and I was able to. For that 5 hours that I was sitting there not able to swallow, I could just imagine myself having to be hooked up to an IV for Easter Sunday and up here with an IV in my arm just so I could get fluids because I can't swallow anything, you know, and starving to death because I can't eat. So I was scared. And then, yesterday, after all this happened on Friday and Friday night, then yesterday, I'm picking up my son at the store. I put him on my shoulders. I bent down to reach for a bag that was on the ground with him on my shoulders. Not the wisest thing to do in the world, but my back just completely went out. It's like something ripped in there or something. It was a horrible pain. And so I'm hobbling around the store then, get home and I, you know, take some ibuprofen, go to bed, and it's feeling okay when I go to bed. This morning, when I got up, I almost had to call Karen and say, Karen, you're preaching Easter Sunday, because I couldn't move. I had slept in a position all night, and the muscles had tensed up, and I almost threw up trying to get out of bed, because the pain was just so all through my body. It was horrible. And finally I was able to get myself out of bed and stretch it a little bit and work it out, and it still hurts, but I'm here. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, these little attacks of the devil are not going to keep me from doing what God calls me to do.
Amen.
Nothing's going to keep me from doing what God has called me to do. I want to talk to you this morning. Easter Sunday. This is the Sunday that we celebrate, right? This is the Sunday that we celebrate Jesus, who was God, coming to earth in the form of a man, living a perfect life, dying on the cross for your sins and for mine, paying that penalty of death so that we don't have to, and then rising again from the dead 3 days later to ascend to heaven and wait for us there. Wait for me there. I'm going to be in heaven with him someday. That is just worth celebrating, isn't it?
Amen.
That the God of the universe would do that for you, for me, and give up his only son to die. That just blows me away. It never ceases to amaze me how much God loves us, that he would send his son Jesus to die for us. So there you go. That's the gospel in a nutshell. I've done my Easter duty as a pastor. We can all go home. No, let's not. But I took a little straw poll this week with some of the people that I know, and I asked people, in a single word,
to describe what Jesus means to them in a single word. Why don't we do that right now? If you got your sermon note sheet there, you've got a pen, pull that out and write down on your note sheet just a single word of what Jesus means to you. And if you don't have a pen with you, just think of it in your head. A single word of what Jesus means to you. And there's no run-on hyphenated long sentence with just hyphens in between. It's a single word that doesn't count like this. This one here. God who came to earth in the form of a man and died for me to pay the penalty for my sins, I don't have to give me eternal life. It's not a single word, even if you put the hyphens in it. One word that describes what Jesus means to you. Write it down now. You got it? Got it in your head? Okay. Here are some of the results from the poll that I took. A bunch of people said love. Three people said love. One person said agape, which is a form of love. That's God's perfect love, right? A couple people said everything. Jesus is everything to them. A couple people said grace, right? That's what Jesus is all about, is grace. People said provider, savior, comfort, peace, acceptance, forgiving, forgiveness, redeemer, mercy, life. Jesus is life. Laughter, which is a great one. Daddy. BFF is what one person said. That's more of an acronym than a single word, but I went with it. And propitiation, which is God's sacrifice, making us right with Him by Jesus being the sacrifice for our sins, making us right with Him, making us holy. So these are some of the things that Jesus means to different people. And Jesus will mean something different to just about everybody based on your circumstances, based on what Jesus has done for you in your life, what you've seen of Him in your life. Jesus will mean something different to each person, have a different relationship. But you want to know my word? You want to know what my word is? It's actually in the name of our church, Pathway of Hope. That's right. My word is of. You may not think I can do a lot with the word of, and you're right, my word is actually hope. So to me, Jesus is hope. Jesus is hope. With all the junk going on in the world around us, right? All the wars, the economy, the lost jobs, the crummy housing market, everything going on around us. Don't we need just a little bit of good old-fashioned hope? Yeah. We need a little hope in our lives. And that's what Jesus is to me. Jesus is hope to me in a couple different ways. Jesus gives me hope for today. Jesus gives me hope for today. Whatever it is that I'm going through right now, I know that Jesus has it all under control. He is my hope. He gives me relief from my stress, my worry, my anxiety, my pain, right? Jesus is my hope. He's there for me, and I know that whatever it is that I'm going through is not going to last forever because of where my hope is. In example of this, in 2002, January, Jackie and I had been married about 4 months at the time, and I got laid off from my job. And
it was
September. It was our okay. So it was like March, wasn't it? Yeah, it was more like March. Okay. So in March of 2002. I should have run this past her before I started talking. In March of 2002, we'd been married 6 months, and I lost my job. I was working as a computer systems administrator in San Jose, and I was working for a company that contracted me out to different companies that needed computer work done, and so I would be at a place for 3 months at a time, 6 months at a time, a year, you know, but there was a time when one contract ended, and there was no other contract. They're available. This is when all the tech stocks were crashing, right? Back in the early 2000s, and the jobs were drying up, and nobody needed a contractor anymore for doing their computer work, and so the company that I was working for kept me on as long as they could, but eventually they just had to say, there's no work for you to do, we have to let you go, you know? And that was a scary time, because I didn't know how I was going to provide for my family. I mean, Jackie had a job. She was working as a receptionist at a Christian school, actually working for my dad. But we couldn't live on her salary. You know, what was going to happen? How was I going to provide? What was I going to do? What was I going to do? But I was crying out to God. I said, God, what are you doing here? It's okay to do that. It's okay to question God and not doubt him. You can question God without doubting him. God, what are you doing here? I can't see what's going to happen. And I was out of work for about 6 weeks before I found another job. And during that time, I was getting unemployment checks. We filed our taxes during that time. We got a refund back. And I'll tell you what. Because I was trusting in God during that time, we actually had more money in our bank account during that time than we had before or have had since. God took care of us. Jesus gave me hope, and he took care of me. And it's because of situations like that that I can now look back, and when things happen in my life now, I can say, Jesus took care of me then. He's going to take care of me now. I have hope. This is not the end of the road. Same thing Friday, you know, when I was in urgent care, couldn't swallow, thought I was going to starve to death right there in the middle of the hospital. But I had hope. I was crying out to God, saying, God, release this, whatever's going on, help me out. But I had hope. I didn't give up on God because of what he's done for me in the past. I had hope for today that God was going to take care of me. And he did. In Matthew chapter 5, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people in the Sermon on the Mount. Starting in verse 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
It's
Matthew 6. Matthew 6? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew 6. Hi. Should I run that past Jackie too? But whatever it is that you're going through today, whatever it is that's on your mind, whatever you're worried and anxious about, whatever pain you're feeling today, know that Jesus is there. You can have hope in him. He can be your hope for today. You don't have to worry about the things going on. He wants us to turn to him with our problems and worship him and lay down our burdens at his feet. Let him worry about them. He's our hope for today. And the good times, the blessings, because they happen too, right? We can celebrate when those things happen because we know that those are coming from Jesus too. We have hope that Jesus is going to bless us. And every day isn't going to be horrible and a mess and a problem. But we know that those blessings are coming from God. We have hope for today. So I have hope for today because Jesus is my hope. I also have hope for the future. Sometimes I worry about the future, right? I think we all do. What's going to happen next year? What crummy things coming around the next corner? You know, what horrible catastrophe is going to hit my life next, right? You ever think that way? Yeah. Yeah. What challenges am I going to have to face? The great thing about Jesus is that he already knows. He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year. He knows what's going to happen in your life. And he's already maneuvering the pieces around to make it so that you can survive. So that you can get through that time. Doesn't mean that your life is going to be all peachy keen because you're a Christian. We all know that's not true. But we have someone we can rely on when the tough times come. Someone we can put our hope in for the future. We don't have to worry about what's coming down the bend. Because Jesus is our hope. I have somewhere else to put my focus when bad things happen. Right? I can put my focus on him instead of on my circumstances. Because we all know that Jesus, we already talked about Jesus is our hope for today, right? And the future, someday, will be today. Someday, right? Someday that day down the road is going to be today. Someday. So we can have hope in Jesus. My kids. It's easy to worry about your kids, right? Am I raising them right? Am I doing the right thing? Am I giving them enough of what they need? Am I giving them too much of something? Or not enough of something? You know, am I training them to know good from bad? Am I scarring them for life by something that I'm doing? How in the world am I going to pay for a wedding someday? You know? It's easy to worry about that. But it's also easy to just take those worries and those things and just give them to God. Say, God, you know my kids. You know what they need better than I do. And so I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to give me wisdom as I raise them, and I'm trusting you to give them your spirit as they learn more about you and grow in you. I'm trusting you to fill them with your spirit so that they know right from wrong. So that they make the right choices. Or the economy. It's easy to worry about the economy in the future, right? Are things going to turn around? Or are they going to get worse? You know, I have a job during the week down at Raytheon. Am I going to lose my job at Raytheon someday before the economy turns around and gets better? I can't support my family on the salary here, you know? And so what's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with money? We all worry about that. But I can trust God. Hope in him, because he knows what's coming. And he's already preparing for how it's going to resolve. He's already setting things up so that I'm going to be taken care of. And whatever's going on, whatever you're worried about for the future, know Jesus has it all under control. He already knows, and he's already setting things up for you. You don't have to worry about the future. Matthew chapter 6 said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own. Let tomorrow take care of itself. I also Not only do I have hope for today and hope for the future, but I have hope for eternity.
Amen. Praise God. Yes.
Because Jesus died for me and I've accepted his forgiveness for my sins, I know that when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. Hopefully a long time from now. Not from starving because my esophagus closes. Someday, a long time from now when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. And I don't have to worry about the afterlife. I don't have to worry about what comes next. I already know. Because I have hope. I have hope for eternity. When people close to me pass away, and I know that they're saved, I know that they are a Christian, I know they have a relationship with Jesus, it's a sad day, yeah. But there's also a little bit of rejoicing because I know where they are. And I know that they're not in any more pain. And I know that they're shaking hands with Jesus and giving him a big hug. And I know I'm going to see them again someday. So I have hope for eternity. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all it takes, to have hope for eternity. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's what Easter is all about. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 24. This is after Jesus has been crucified and they took his body down off the cross and they wrapped it in burial cloths and they laid it in a tomb, covered the tomb with a stone. This is resurrection day right here. Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb to anoint the body. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Jesus was dead, but now he's alive again. He physically raised from the dead. And he came and he spent 30 days with his disciples, just loving on them, getting them ready for what was coming next. And then he was raised back to heaven. And he's waiting there for us. That's my hope for eternity. He didn't just die. When he did die, he paid the penalty for my sin so that I don't have to. Because the penalty for sin is death. Jesus paid that penalty for me. But he didn't stay dead. He raised on resurrection day. Now he's in heaven waiting for me. That's my hope for eternity. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at or how horrible you think the things that you've done are. There was a criminal hanging next to Jesus on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, it's a criminal hanging next to Jesus on the cross. And in order to be hung, in order to be crucified, you had to do something pretty heinous. He must have done something really, really bad in order to deserve to be crucified. There were two criminals hanging next to Jesus. One was hurling insults at him. Let's read Luke 23, starting in verse 39. It says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What does Jesus say? Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This was a bad, bad man. But he surrendered his life to Jesus. Jesus, today you're going to be with me in paradise. It doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Jesus just covers it all. Do you know for sure what's going to happen when you die? Do you have a hope for eternity? Or are you just not sure? Do you worship the God who wants you in heaven with him after you die? Or do you think that nothing happens after you die? You just go into nothingness. That's a pretty hopeless place to be. God loves you. Do you know where you're going? It's easy in this world, in this life, to focus on the world around us, the things going on around us, our circumstances. A lot of things that we do only impact the world around us. They don't have any eternal significance. Do you have an eternal perspective on your life? Are the things that you're doing on a daily basis, do they impact eternity? Get an eternal perspective. Amen. I agree. He's speaking in tongues. Do I have an interpretation? Okay. What I'd like to do now is I want to give you an opportunity to respond. It's like I said, the devil was trying to keep me away from here this morning because something pretty incredible is going to happen. So I'm going to have our prayer teams come over here to your left and be available. And I'm going to ask Kevin to just play lightly on the keyboard there. I'm going to ask Paul to bring the lights down, if you could. I want to give you an opportunity to respond today. Because I think there are people in this room who don't have a hope for eternity. They don't have a relationship with God. And you want that. You feel the emptiness.